Hi, I'm Andrew Hargett.
And I'm Logan Rice.
And you've joined us on To the Choir Master, a podcast examining our heart posture and musical worship.
This week, we are looking at the song Surrounded, Fight My Battles by Upper Room. If you haven't heard the song, we highly recommend that you give it a listen and revisit. The link for the song performed by Upper Room is in the description, so be sure to check it out and then come back and listen to what we have to say. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles.
Awesome. Well, Logan, I'm excited to discuss this song this week. It's been out for a couple of years now, but churches seem to still be doing it. It seems like it hasn't lost any steam yet. Yeah. I think part of that's because it's really an emotionally charging song. It's very, exhilarating to sing about fighting battles, but it's also really comforting to sing about being surrounded by a father. Hmm. So this song really hits on the full spectrum to quickly check emotional boxes if that's what you're looking for.
Absolutely.
But you and I both know, as we've been studying this, there's actually a lot of real depth and yeah. There's a ton of spiritual backing to this song. So I hope that as we discuss this, one of the things that we'll be able to do is kind of build a mental picture of what's going on in this song.
Yeah.
There's a lot of imagery that's directly tied to scripture that I wasn't all aware of. So I think it'll be really neat to see what it means to fight battles in that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, there are several versions out there that actually don't include the verses. It's just the chorus and the bridge. Mm-hmm. What's unique about this song is that it can stand up on its own mm-hmm. outside of that. Those versions are perfectly fine. Man, the verses really unpack what the chorus is. So before we go into those verses, you want to go ahead and look at the chorus and what "This is how I fight my battles" really means and what we kind of got out of it?
Yeah, let's switch it up a little bit and discuss the chorus first. We normally discuss the verses yeah. first and leading to that. But I thought with the chorus of this song, the line is just, "This is how I fight my battles.
No more, no less."
Which is great, but it brings a question up to the table, really yeah. more than anything. There's yeah. It's begging this really obvious question of, well, what is the this?
Right.
And how do I fight my battles? I'm singing, "This is how,"
yeah,
but I don't actually know how.
Yeah, I think we have a really good grasp on the fact that battles are a thing in this life, whether that be deaths in the family or struggles financially or whatever it may be. We all know that there's going to be battles, mm-hmm. and this song really says, well, this is how, and super encouraging. But right, that's the first question that came into my mind of, okay, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is awesome. This is awesome. What is the this?
Right.
And so I know you have some thoughts on it.
Yeah, well, I think to discuss the end of that, we really need to then start going into the verses.
Right, right.
Because they, like you mentioned earlier, that's really what's going to start unpacking the this.
Yep.
And then once you get through that, then we'll get back to the chorus, and that's really that battle cry of yeah. proclaiming what you've learned about yep. or sung about in the verses.
Yeah. There's a table.
So, Logan, this is just about quoted straight out of Psalm 23.
Right.
So, where do you see in Psalm 23 here?
Yeah. So, it's interesting. I think I've heard Psalm 23 read hundreds of times. There are songs out there that are basically just straight up. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it, and I love it. And yes, it leads me beside still waters, and surely goodness and mercy.
I think this was one of the psalms I memorized as a kid yeah. once upon a time, or at least parts of it.
Yeah, same here. The portion that's always never really been something that I've grasped is the line, "You've prepared a table in the midst of my enemies." And that's the first line of this song. And as I was doing some studying and looking at it, I had to think, what does it mean for David to write, you prepared a table for me in the midst of my enemies. You know, keep in mind the line before this is.
Yeah, why don't we read out that psalm? Absolutely. Just to make sure it's fresh in our minds. So I'll read it off. This is the whole psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
David says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You comfort me. And that comfort is him making the table and in the midst of the enemies. And something that you have to paint in your picture is this table isn't a Chick-fil-A, grab your meal, right, 15 minutes and you're out kind of table. This is a feast,
right,
which goes contrary to what we would think. If I'm in the midst of a battle and I have enemies around me, I'm scarfing down my food, right? Like,
right,
I got people on my tail. I'm trying to fight. I'm not sitting down and saying, okay, well, now let's bring out the hors d'oeuvres, and then we're going to bring out the meat, and then we're going to bring out the dessert. And that's what David is painting here, is this is a feast that the Lord is inviting us to in the midst of our enemies. And how can we be invited to a banquet in the midst of war? And I was looking, and David Guzik, if any of you guys used Blue Letter Bible, he has some incredible commentaries on things. And so I was looking at what he had to say about it. And really, this is ultimately a picture of the Christian life, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a war going on. There's a battle. There's a war of spiritual good and evil, angels and demons fighting. And we're very much a part of it, you know, here on this earth and with our souls and our bodies and all that, right? And yet, in the midst of all that, the Lord is inviting us to this feast. And when I envision going to a feast, right, there's peace and there's comfort and there's camaraderie and conversation, and you kind of know that you may sit in that same chair for 2 to 3 hours. And, you know, think about a Thanksgiving feast, right? And you're seeing your family and there's conversation and you're laughing. I don't think about having my Thanksgiving dinner in the midst of battle around me, right?
But enemy's sitting right beside you.
Exactly. But that's exactly what we're doing. And, you know, this is kind of going to be the theme of the podcast as we go. Having that peace in him and that our hunger satisfied because of the Lord and because we are in the Lord, that is how we ultimately fight our battles, is coming to that table.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that, like you said, this is really that imagery of the Christian walk.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's interesting to me is when you think about when David wrote this, though, they probably didn't get that yet.
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
This really wouldn't make sense to a lot of David's contemporaries, because just looking at the idea of sitting down at a table with enemies surrounding them, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's really a mystery here of how could you sing this kind of a psalm or read it or anything about sitting at a table in the midst of enemies and the shadow of death, and then also say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that must have been such a mystery. But I like what you mentioned there with the idea of this being the Christian life, because that mystery gets revealed to us through Christ. And one of the final feasts, you know, that this takes me to is in Revelation 19, 6 through 9, where it speaks of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right, so that's another gathering to the table to celebrate the uniting of Christ and the church. And that table ultimately is Christ's body and blood. So that's the other line in verse 1. It says, it's your body and your blood you've shed for me. That's what the table is.
Yeah.
And that's that mystery revealed where Christ is the table through his body and blood, sacrificed and shed for the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
And that allows us to sit there in peace and have mercy and goodness.
Yeah, and that's so good, because I think that feast isn't as commonly talked about as the Lord's Supper.
Right.
Right. And in that time when the Lord was breaking that bread and pouring that wine, it was still a mystery, right? And, you know, the disciples were still thinking that. And so while it may be easy for our minds to immediately go there, to your point, that mystery wasn't revealed in that moment. That feast in Revelation is really where we kind of understand what that looks like to have a table and have a feast in the midst of the enemy. So that's very good. I'm glad you brought that up.
And you see that analogy of food and sitting at the table throughout the Bible. You see that with the elders of Israel who are able to eat on the mountain with God. And then David's using that here, like what you said with like the Passover feast and ultimately that idea of the feast in Revelation, where we see this idea of this communion or true community with Christ is being built up as that feast, even in the midst of our enemies.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that last line still said, "This is how I fight my battles." But in many ways, we just sat about sitting at a table. Hmm. So, you know, I'm curious what, as we move into verse two now, what, where are we going to get into more of this battle fighting? In the
Yeah. So the first two lines is, "In the valley, I know that you're with me. Surely your goodness and mercy will follow me." That's Psalm 23 still again. Yep. "So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. This is how I fight my battles." There's your answer. That's where we first see what our weapons are.
Weapons Interesting are finally enough, introduced for the battle. Yeah.
Oddly enough, they're not swords or shields or bows and arrows or anything that would be a typical weapon in war. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, this is interesting to me because I think as prideful Americans, we really try to resist what's being said here. We want to be given a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, it seems odd, but we want to get in there and fight. We're like, all right, hand me the sword. I'm going to
Yeah, when you're playing a video game and you respawn and you have like the wimpy pistol, right? Nobody's like, "Oh, let me search around for the chest that contains the song in it."
Let me find the praise and
let me find the praise. Yeah. Where's that option?
Yeah. We're all looking for the, you know, the big guns. Yep. Get me to the fight. And so part of what my mind went to with this verse here is in 2 Chronicles 20. And I even try to justify it in many ways in that same vein of looking at praise and thanksgiving as these physical weapons. In 2 Chronicles 20, that's where Jehoshaphat sends the worshipers out before the army. And really, when you read the story, in 2 Chronicles 20:17, the Lord tells Jehoshaphat, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf." So then moving forward from there, the Lord sets an ambush. And really the only thing that Jehoshaphat or Israel did was they trusted in God and they went into the fight praising and thanking God for him. So I guess with that in mind, Logan, what do you see then? What is the fight still that we're singing about? What are these weapons actually being used for then?
To think that, you know, going back on your point, to think that this was actually a wartime strategy implemented by the Lord,
right?
This is a wartime. And when you look at the Old Testament, you know, the Lord uses things in unique ways, right? When the walls of Jericho came down, they walked around it seven times and then they blew the trumpets and they shouted and the walls came down, right? Yeah. So this is a God that clearly puts a lot of value in the use of song and trumpets and shouts being used to obtain those victories in the midst of the battle.
Because it displays his glory.
Yeah, it displays his glory because, you know, one of my notes here is, to neglect lifting up the praises to him in the midst of battles, just to throw our own punches or try to shoot our own shots or whatever that may be, is not only futile, but it's just stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, and it would give the opportunity for us to say, "Oh, well, I shot that," right? Like, Goliath went down with a tiny stone. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be like, "Wow, David, you know, that stone, you really got him." Like, that was clearly the Lord.
Right.
And that's why I think fighting your battles with praise and thanksgiving shows that it's clearly the Lord that's delivering, because, you know, the world might think, "Well, you're not really doing anything." Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, we know that the praise and the thanksgiving in the midst of that battle is one of our only strategies, if not our only strategy, to go in and give him praise in the midst of that. So what are those weapons used for? They're used to be reflecting glory back to God. Mm-hmm. That praise, that thanksgiving, that, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. It shows that we are in this only for God's glory.
Right.
That and to those who are looking at us in the midst of our battle, it'll be a testimony to them of, I didn't do anything. You know, this is purely the Lord, and we're called to remain steadfast and to continue lifting up that song to God. You know, that sweet incense, that fragrance, the Lord may receive that. That is why we fight.
Yeah, and so I think with taking all of that into perspective, when we were singing in the chorus of "This is how I fight my battles," in many ways we're really singing that we don't fight that battle because God has already told us in, you know, 2 Chronicles 20, you will not need to fight in this battle.
Yeah.
So instead, we bring praise and thanksgiving to God, and we just do what he told Jehoshaphat, which is stand firm, hold your position,
yeah,
and give thanks for this. And so we can come into battles also in our own lives praising and thanking God first.
Yes.
And there's still the army there. But we can come in first with that praise and thanksgiving because God has already told us, you don't need to fight in this battle.
Right.
Which, now that's how I take this song in regards maybe to the ultimate battle of salvation, right, mm-hmm. against sin. I think there, you could also look at this as a fight a little bit more on an individual faith and life. Yeah. And how do you put those together?
Yeah, so when you look at 1 Timothy 6:12, right, fight the good fight of the faith. To me, that verse always gets me pumped up. Mm-hmm. And I remember being in high school and with our youth group and our other group of guys, like, we got to fight the good fight, right? Everybody wants to fight. And this is something that, you know, when you look at God, mm-hmm. he's not changing, right?
I mean, right.
He's always the same. So you look at the Old Testament and you see a God that devotes entire nations for destruction and had the Israelites fight wars in his name mm-hmm. solely for his glory, right? You know, the Egyptians being washed away in the Red Sea. Like that's obviously a fight that's had to be had there. That's for God's glory. Jericho right. coming down. That was for God's glory. He's delivering his people and giving them the land that he promised them. Mm-hmm. You know, biblically we believe that Jesus took upon the wrath of God and the justice of that, but we still serve a God of justice and a God of war and a God that calls us to fight. It's our heritage. It's in our bones. We just need to fight for the right things, but we're called to fight. And this song, to me, reminds us of how we fight and how we fought and how we'll continue to fight the good fight of faith. You know, to continue out that verse, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So Andrew, to your point, absolutely, take hold of that eternal life that you had. Like that's the ultimate fight that we can come in with praise and thanksgiving, not really have to go to war for mm-hmm. anything because Christ's blood is shed for us. And now that's not a fight, that's a gift that we can just willingly accept. Upon the acceptance of that gift though, fight the good fight of faith. And so those individual battles that come across that can test our faith, that can rock our boat a little bit, yet ultimately bring us closer to Christ, we are fighting those battles with that song in the midst of our enemies. You know, that can be pumped up. Like that to me answers the this.
Yeah, yeah. And we basically we're fighting to stand firm and hold our position like the Lord commanded to Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
And the ultimate battle is being won, but we still have to do a part in just fighting against our own fear
right.
to make sure that we are standing firm there. Yep,
absolutely.
And I wanted to bring up a quote from Alyssa Smith. I thought it was just too good to not share. I saw this online in an interview, and she wanted to talk a little bit about what the this is
yeah.
in the This Is How I Find My Battles.
She wrote the song with yes. Michael W. Smith.
Yes. Yep. Yep. And so she said, I don't want anyone to be confused about what is the this in how I fight my battles. Hmm. The this is the table that he has prepared for us. And he has already overcome our enemies, and we can come and sit and rest with him. His blood puts everything in the right perspective. Hmm. And so I thought that kind of ties all that together with the first verse where the table is being prepared, and there's this mystery that they might not have understood in the Old Testament. But ultimately, she's saying that this is how I fight my battles is the table. It is Christ, and with his blood, all of that gets taken into perspective. Hmm. That mystery is put into perspective of Christ. And we understand that Christ is how we fight our battles. And so we're really just showing up to the victory feast. And as you mentioned, we're fighting, we're bringing these weapons of praise and thanksgiving so that we hold firm to our faith.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. A little off the cuff question that's not in our notes. What does a song of praise and thanksgiving look like? right now.
So actually, I think that we could still flow straight into the pre-chorus of this song, because in many ways, I think that's what the answer to your question is. So the pre-chorus says, "And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for what you've done."
Hmm.
And so I feel like in many ways, the pre-chorus puts fully into words what the chorus is saying our role is.
Yeah.
We believe, and we lift up a song of praise. And so it's those two aspects to the question that you've asked is, it's this, I believe, I'm trusting, and it's, I'm lifting up a song of praise for what you've done and what you will do.
Yeah. And that what you've done is everything that God, I mean, he saved us, mm-hmm. right? So that's a big one to thank God for. You know, I believe you've overcome death, right? So you've overcome death, you've overcome hell and the grave, and now we can be reconciled to you because of what you've accomplished on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe that you've overcome. I will have thanked for that. I believe you've overcome, you know, COVID-19. I believe you've overcome the death of my grandfather. Right. I believe you've overcome, like, all these things, like, Christ has overcome that. We have hope in that, and we can thank him for all those things. So there's not one specific thing. That pre-chorus, to your point, which is a great point, covers all of the things that we can go to the God and say, well, look what he's done. Look at this. You know, here I've set up my altar and my Bethel of my 12 stones, right? And you look back and say, oh, this is where God did this. And oh, this is where God did this. That is our role in the fight.
Yep. And I believe you've overcome. And that brings me back also to that idea of in Psalm 23, where the rod and the staff are comforting the sheep, and it's they are believing, they're trusting in the shepherd, and so they're able to move, and they're able to drink water because there's that belief that he's overcome things in the past, he will overcome things in the future, whether that's wolves or disease or anything else.
And he has our best intentions in mind as the great shepherd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so I think that there's two big approaches to this song. One is what we've talked about already, which is that idea of we're ready to get in there and fight. We're ready to, you know, throw our knuckles around and give me a sword. And some of us are going to have that kind of a perspective. But I think there's another perspective. You know, when you look back in Psalm 23, it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And so the other personality type that's going to look at that is going to want to shrink back in fear.
Mm.
And so I really feel like the bridge helps address that idea. Yes. So it says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I feel like this is very clearly out of a Bible story in the Old Testament. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 19, so when the servant, I'll read it out loud. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. So the Syrians have surrounded the city, and, you know, a servant of God goes to Elisha and is like, we're surrounded. Mm-hmm. Like, open your eyes, look outside. There's a bunch of armies and chariots, and this is not good, right? This is not good.
Right.
And Elisha simply just prays, open his eyes that they may see. And I interpret this as his eyes are open to
what was
the spiritual
there.
Realm.
And what was already there.
It was already there. Elisha could see it. And I cannot imagine how cool it would have been to be standing there and being like, man, we are in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah.
We are surrounded. And then all of a sudden, Elisha just says a prayer. And then all of a sudden, I see chariots and fire all around the mountain and going, oh. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I feel like I would react. It's not like, oh man, this is terrifying. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
this is the God that we serve. And you have to imagine that in every battle that we're in, and it's promised here that this isn't a one-time thing, right? Like
right.
The armies and the angel armies that are, you know, by our side and for us and all around us, this isn't just, oh, this happened in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 19. It never happened again, right? And so as we're surrounded by Christ, like, I want to pray dangerous prayers, like, show me mm-hmm. where you are, how you're fighting, what you're doing for me, because it may look like I'm surrounded. I might have the walls in my life closing in, whether that be, you know, internal walls or external walls of whatever that may be. It may feel to me like I'm surrounded. God, open my eyes and show me who you are and how perfectly you have this in your control. And that's just incredible to me.
Yeah. I really like the story as well. And I think it's really important to look at it in terms of the gospel, because I think back to when I first started to understand the gospel, right? It's the same circumstance. I'm sitting there. You suddenly realize I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. There's no hope for me. There's no end. There's nothing after this life. This life isn't all that. Like, I'm not happy. And that's the state that you exist in. Mm-hmm. And at some point, somebody helps you pray and they're like, Lord, open his eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's whenever we are able to see and look out and realize we're already surrounded.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I love that idea of that it's already there. Like that. Elisha understands this. He sees this all the time.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Lord, open his eyes so that he can also see this. And to me, that's such a testimony of the gospel. And that at that point of conversion where you realize, oh, Christ has done so much to overcome this. And to me, that's just, I want to read that story and sing this bridge with that in perspective of, This was my sin, and look what Christ has overcome. And so look at my circumstance now. Well, look what Christ is going to overcome.
Right. Yeah, when you think about this in terms of a movie, right, I envision, you know, in the movie, he looks out, there's armies everywhere. Mm-hmm. And normally in movies, if there's a surprise attack or surprise triumphant entry, it's exactly that. It's an entry. It mm-hmm. is, oh, look across the distant mountain and here they come charging in, right? But this is there is no triumphant entry, because it's already there. Happened. It's just there. Mm-hmm. And what peace that brings me, knowing that, you know, exactly to your point, just to echo it, this isn't something that I have to await and I really hope, mm-hmm. I really hope this is the time where the army comes in and takes over. I know that there's an army here, and I know that the Lord is fighting for me in this moment, in this battle, in my life. And that just brings such assurance and assurity to my faith. And I think mm-hmm. that's what they're, you know, Alyssa and Michael W. Smith, who wrote this song, that to me is what I think they're trying to get across, is this is how I fight my battles. You know, I'm at the table at the feast. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. That is a call of peace and of rest, and okay, let's sit at this table a little bit longer, because mm-hmm. we know that, you know, we're in the midst of the enemies, but man, if we just had our eyes open, it could see that in the midst of those enemies, there's also armies and fighting for us and the Lord fighting for us. That just kind of gives us the liberty to sit at the table a little bit longer and enjoy mm-hmm. being in the presence of the Lord in that, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And so I wanted to look at, how do you take this then and all that we just talked about, and how do you apply that to your life?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, in the moment when you're singing this song, you know, we've seen people that come down to the altar, you know, they're crying during this, and they're just all drawn into that God being surrounded by, you know, God surrounding them.
Yeah.
But then when they go home, they don't live in that. And so I want to look at what's the heart posture of living this bridge? And I think part of that is remembering that these lyrics are really easy to remember. It's really easy for us to remember, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And those are great things to proclaim whenever you're facing trials. But ultimately, those are words written by man.
Yeah.
Right? And so part of what helps us to realize that it's all already out there, and part of what helps us to open up our eyes to that reality, is to look back to the unshakable truth behind these lyrics.
Yeah.
So this is Psalm 3:6. It says, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. And Psalm 139:5 says, "You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me." And so there's so many others too that we could pull in, where we can look at the idea of not being afraid of thousands of people and God being before and behind us, right? But if we take all of those types of truths, if we meditate on those scriptures and that unshakable truth that's behind these words, whenever we're facing trials, there's that truth that's echoed behind it that's unshakable. And that really is that helps us to open up our eyes and realize that truth is there. It's all around us at all times. And we just have to recognize that.
Yeah. And that automatically within my soul just elicits joy.
Yeah.
That there is so much freedom and liberation knowing that as we go out, whether our battle be at our 9-to-5 job, whether our battle be when we come home and, and we have, you know,
screaming kids
running around, you know, whatever that may be, as we go into those, we are free and we are liberated and we can face those with joy, because in every circumstance, in every element of our life, we are surrounded by the Lord. We are surrounded by the God who has delivered entire nations from Israel, and shown them who he is in miraculous ways. And what I think this song does, and why I think it's so beautifully repetitive, is when you look at the Israelites, they were delivered out of Egypt, and then they kind of like walk for a little bit and they go, man, Egypt was better. And then God was like, no, it's not, you know, and here you go, you know, here you go, here's your provision. And they keep going and like, man, remember how cool Egypt was? And he was like, no, it's not that cool. Here's proof of that, right?
And they are the man that looks intently at his face in the mirror and then turns away and at once forgets what he looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about that before, right? In our previous podcast. And I think songs that are repetitive of as we are walking through our own Egypt, you know, we can kind of think, it was kind of better the way it was. I'm feeling defeated, or my feet kind of hurt from all this walking. It's like, nope, I'm surrounded by you. Nope, this is how I fight my battles. Nope, praise and thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving. That's the only weapon I bring to the table is praise and thanksgiving. This song, let it be the song that gets you through your entire walk. This, you know, this may not be one specific battle. This is life in its entirety, and we have the surety of the invitation to the table in our salvation. Praise be to God, we give thanks. And then as we continue to be in this life, which is just inherently broken, that's a bummer. But you know, here we are, as we fight these battles, praise and thanksgiving. Let this song be one that really strikes that fire. And that looking at this song the way that we have has completely transformed it in my mind of how we sing it, because I've viewed this song as, this is a battle cry. I don't really need to sing this song unless I'm fighting a battle. And it's like, nope, this could be your looking back and said, man, we fought this battle with praise and thanksgiving. Let's give praise and thanksgiving for how we fought this battle with praise and thanksgiving. It's an eternal loop of just praise and awe and thanksgiving to the Lord that surrounds us and holds us in his hand.
And this is really true for all songs, but on top of that heart posture that you just talked about with singing this, like when you're at church, this is a heart posture to have outside of church.
Yes.
Whenever you're at home, whenever you're facing those trials, you can be acting this out in your heart posture all the time.
Yep.
And so I just think that's really important to also consider that all these podcasts that we're talking about, when we're talking about these songs, this is not just a thing when you're singing this at church or when you're on stage.
Yep.
This is really a heart posture for your life. And that's, again, looking back to Psalms of David, like that's what he lived out.
Absolutely.
Both in his writing of the Psalms and when you read in, you know, 1st and 2nd Samuel about his life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a quote that I know that you brought to the table when we were talking about this before.
I think my in-ears tell me this is the worship freely part.
Vamp.
Yeah.
Vamp.
Yeah.
Right. So there's
inside jokes.
there's a gap in, you know, in the song and the live version that is in our description if you haven't listened to it. And it's just a segment where the singer of this song just kind of takes a moment and speaks what's on her heart. I know that one thing that she said really spoke to you and applies very much to the bridge and what this idea of being surrounded could look like.
Right. Yeah. So it says, when my enemies seem to be all around me, I'm starting to see the darkness around me is just the shadow of your wings. Hmm. And so that, you know, looking at that imagery, you know, we've talked about some imagery now with armies coming and them sending the worshipers out first. You know, that idea of wings, I always think to, like, you know, the mother hen, right, who's putting right. her wings over her chicks to bring them in. I never thought about it this way, but you kind of wonder, like, when she's putting her wings out and over the chicks, there's a darkness that comes over yeah. them for a moment.
Like, wait a minute, I can't see anymore.
Yeah, and you it makes you wonder, like, are they scared for a moment? And mm-hmm. then until the wings come in and surround them fully. And so this line that she kind of says, very just, you know, out there almost praying it, and realizing it as she's singing the song, it helps you understand the full depth of God's control over these situations yeah. where even in that darkness, it's just God in his surrounding of you. And part of what we talked about earlier, all of those times of battles that Israel's facing, those are all opportunities of God demonstrating his glory, which is really giving Israel faith to trust in him for yes. all the things that they're going to go through. And so the darkness that's coming around us is an opportunity for God to show his glory, an opportunity to give us reasons to trust him.
Yeah.
And so it's another, really the trials that we face are just another circumstance where God's surrounding us.
Yes.
And so I thought that this was really neat to look at that imagery of, it's just a shadow of the wings coming into to yeah. surround us.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Just the shadow of your wings.
My victory's in Jesus' name. My victory's in Jesus' name. Well, Logan, I know there's one last portion to the song, and we like to put bows on songs, yes. it seems. So the last portion of the song, that tag, says, my victory's in Jesus' name. My victory was in that third day. And we've brought up a lot of Old Testament today,
yeah.
which I love. I'll never complain about. But I think it's also important to remember all that Old Testament, everything we've sung about in the song, it's ultimately pointing toward Christ.
Yep. It leads up to one moment.
Yep, that ultimate victory is in Jesus' name. It's in that third day. So just to be clear, so what is that third day?
Yeah, so that third day is Jesus died on the cross. He was buried and spent 3 days in the tomb, which that was the ultimate 3 days. 3 days was proof that dead is dead, right?
Right.
And that third day was Christ rose again. The stone was rolled away, and we have a living Savior that defeated death, and his blood is a invitation for us to be reconciled with him. Jesus has won the war, and our victory is in him and him alone.
Right. And so ultimately, that victory, that third day, right, that's the gospel.
Yep.
And what you just shared, that's the gospel. And that is the table that's prepared for us.
Absolutely.
It's that third day, that overcoming, that victory that Jesus had. That's the gospel. That's the table that we can come to. That's the reason we are surrounded. That's the reason that the battle's already won and that we can come with praise and with thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Andrew, would you like to close us out in a word of prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, I just want to thank you for your presence. God, that we can feel surrounded because of what Jesus has done on the cross, because of that third day, God. I pray that we would be reminded, both in our pride whenever we're wanting to fight, God, and also in our weakness whenever we're feeling scared of the shadow of death. God, I pray that you would remind us, that you would open up our eyes to see that we're surrounded. God, I pray that you would help us to fight the good fight for faith, to stand firm. God, that you would remind us that this is not our fight to fight, but God, that we instead just need to stand firm in you. God, I pray that you would just continue to speak to that in our lives as we continue to reflect on these lyrics. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. I will not contain it. I will not contain this love. Praise. Thank you for joining us on another episode of To the Choir Master. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to good podcasts.